interview on an MVP. And so we'll get back to kind of your experience that you had with, you know, your first real live stream. How was that for you? I was actually pretty nervous for you.
Well, it wasn't bad. I mean, I like to move around a lot, so it was, I think I had a harder time trying to stay in one spot than I did doing anything else. So, you know, it's, and I think that's something that I'm probably going to struggle with for the next time as well. Maybe we'll just have to pan out a little bit so I can have some room to move around.
Well, and I'm a very handsy talker as well. So I like to, you know, illustrate things and, you know, trying to remember to get things done. So one of the things that that Marcos had promised people here was during our intermission show, we were going to give people a little bit of a behind-the-scenes look at some of the tech that we have. And it looks like we've got an extra special guest with us here, the one and only cursed Clint Wyckoff.
How's everyone doing today?
Everyone's doing fine. No, we only have one mic. If you guys want to jump in here, if you want to actually take the other mic, you guys can jump in and share that one. We're gonna carry on with the intermission show. We're at a break in the conference right now, so the general sessions are gonna resume here. I think at around 10 o'clock. I think it's around 10 o'clock or so Mountain Standard Time. So we've got about a half an hour with you here to just kind of chat. We're so pleased to, you know, be able to do this. And, you know, I've been getting some fantastic feedback online around the stream and, you know, just the quality of the event. And I think it makes a huge difference being able to take in live stream this, because we've got people that are coming to us from, you know, around the world. Right, Emil? I have to turn your mic on. Hold on. There you go.
There we go. Okay.
Can we actually, can I hear you?
And, you know, the sessions so far have been great. Philip did a great job of describing the hardware that we use inside of S2D and really why RDMA is so important for these configurations and what we get out of them. This is a great track, great idea. I think that the ability to stream this out has been wonderful. Yeah.
So should we show people a little bit of the tech? It's going to involve me moving my camera here a little bit, so hopefully
yeah,
I don't drop it.
I think people would be interested to see that.
All right, so let's see what we can do here, Emil. So I'm going to steal my camera here. So hopefully I've got enough cable. And we're going to show everybody what our view that we have behind the scenes. So I have a giant monitor here. It's actually a TV. And okay, Marcos is actually going to drive the camera for us, which is fantastic. So what you're looking at right now for all of you viewers is we've built ourselves a TriCaster PC. So let's take a look at the TriCaster PC that we've got. It's powered by all Samsung flash, and what we're doing to capture the actual presenter laptops is we've got a Blackmagic Intensity Shuttle. And that's what's actually providing the source. We've got a HDMI over Ethernet extender, which is helping us get over to the podium where the presenters are. And I'm going to tell you, trying to be an AV guy and figure out all this stuff and what to click and what not to click. And, you know, we figured out some things last night as, you know, stuff was breaking on us and it just wasn't coming through in the stream that you have to remember Emil, when you'd have to go through and work on technology, and inside of that technology, you would have to take and uncheck the checkbox, recheck the checkbox to get stuff to work. Well, that's kind of what we had to do to get some of these things working. I'm also sporting a beautiful new T-shirt, courtesy of Clint Wyckoff's wife, Sarah, Craft Ninja. And, you know, if you guys want one of these custom T-shirts, she'll make it for you. She does a fantastic job. So there's a little plug for, you know, a wonderful small business. So let's take a look at our live stream keyboard here, because this is a pretty cool piece of technology.
I have to say, Dave, your cable management skills are amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of cables. There's a lot of tape on the floor, too. And so with live stream, what we can do is we can actually switch, real-time switch between different things. So, for example, let's just show them how this works behind the scenes. So right now, you guys are getting a view from the camera, which Marcos is holding. And if I want to take and change the preview to something else, like, for example, the rolling deck, I can simply just hit the preview button here on the rolling deck, and then if I want to switch over, now I'll actually come bring this back to the rolling deck, and this is the view that you guys have now. So that's pretty cool. So it'll come back to me as the host in preview mode, and then I can actually transition away from this. And if I want, I can make this a very ghostly type experience. And then there you go. And then some of the other really cool pieces that we have is this rolling deck is actually connected to the live stream solution over a remote camera setup. So if you want to come in here, Marcos, let's just zoom in. Let's take a look at our remote camera setup. So with our remote camera setup, this one here is my laptop. And so what you can do is you can download something called the live stream remote app. And so I loaded that app up on my other laptop, which is over here. So if we'll pan over to that other laptop. So this other laptop right here is running the rolling deck. And so I don't even have that connected on anything except for an Ethernet cable. So that's pretty cool. Now, I have to tell you guys what's actually saved our butt for this particular show, because trying really hard to get the cameras and the solutions to work properly was to try to get the timing down and not have a huge delay around things. And it was our Mevo camera. So if, Marcos, you want to just pan over to our live stream Mevo camera. And so that little bad boy is how we're actually taking and streaming all of the video of the presenters to you guys. And so we tried different camera solutions. We tried a lot of different things, and nothing was really working properly. So it was actually our friends over at the Southwest Michigan System Center User Group, Douglas DeCamp and our friends in Michigan, that actually loaned us that Mevo camera that allowed us to actually do the show. Oh, so wow. So that's very, very cool.
That's nice of them.
So that's my kind of little behind the scenes look. I'm going to step out here for a sec. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the show over to Marcos and Emil, and you guys can kind of chat a little bit about the best of MVP days while Clint takes and gets set up. I have to go run to the little boys' room real quick. All right, guys. So I'll turn this over to you.
Welcome back, Mr. Marcos.
Oops, just a moment.
You need to get your ears on.
Yes, otherwise I cannot hear anything.
So we're just getting set up now. Clint Wyckoff is going to be presenting in about 15 minutes or so. What are you presenting on, Clint?
REFS 3.1 and Windows Server 2016.
Oh, REFS 3.1 on Windows Server 2016. So seems to be a lot of virtualization and storage spaces direct talk happening this time around, Marcos.
Yeah. Sorry, we're having issues with the camera.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, to look at it. When we went back and looked at that, the development of Server 2016 and all the news that came around about it, there was so much talk about, you know, REFS and the new virtualization support, as well as Azure Stack and everything else that came along with that timeline. One of the things that didn't really get a whole lot of hype until Server 2016 was released was that Storage Spaces Direct. And now it seems to be taking over everything by storm.
So, in my opinion, I think it was the last piece that was missing on that old solution. We were able to control everything from the server side to the application side, but there was one piece that was missing. So networking was okay, compute was okay. Now I think finally we got the complete picture of the server side, that is the storage. Storage Space Direct, in my experience already, I have been playing around for several customers. Mm-hmm. It's a nice thing. It's a hit. It's a different kind of in my perspective, a different kind of mentality, because we used to have those big names on storage, right?
Right. Yeah.
And now saying that you can run everything on a Windows server from a network virtualization to a storage to a compute to virtualized, and doing that, they say, why do I want that? And it makes sense, because for me right now, even for small business, they don't have the budget for sometimes having those high-end storage solutions. And Storage Space Direct makes the things easily, and you have almost exactly the same features that you have on the very big hand solution, storage solutions. What do you think?
So we have a lot of organizations out there today, a lot of hardware manufacturers that specialize in hyperconverged infrastructure, right? HP is into it now, as well as Lenovo, Nutanix. There are a few others. Where's the, now that Microsoft is offering Storage Spaces Direct, which really is hyperconverged infrastructure out of the box, where's the drive now to go to some of these third-party solutions?
I think with Microsoft in place, it will drive for us as end users and as a consumers, will drive technologies forward. So it's now it's another player on the market, driving technology, driving all the innovation. And now we will see probably a lot of that innovation coming along, because if you are not involved of this, you just lose the boat.
Yes.
And it's what we learn from these years and years of experience. And the only piece that was sometimes holding us up was the storage. So if you see the compute, let's see this, you know, for example, or let's see the roadmap of Hyper-V. So in 2008, Hyper-V was the first release. And you know that Hyper-V, it's into my heart, right? Yeah. It's one of my favorite features of Windows Server, if it's not the favorite one. So if you see Hyper-V and you see all of that trend coming since 2008, you see that there is a lot of effort of Microsoft to just make that better in each version. So you see now that the version 2016, it was a change. So they were, at the beginning, they were more, in my perspective, again, it was more like the catch train kind of way. In 2012, the release 2012 R2, is when they shifted. So it was not more the catch, the train, it was more driving now. So in 2016, they are really, really ahead from other competitors as well. They are driving the technology, they are driving everything. And that's what's really for us, that we are passion geeks and we love that. It's what we love. We want new stuff coming. Every single release, we want to learn. We want to go to the lab and spend hours there, just try to crash the things. And it's not that easy right now to crash some kind of those servers that was in the old times.
Stop process doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So you try to just put all your knowledge on the new stuff, and you are sometimes in the position, I don't know if you share the same opinion as me, but you sometimes are in the position that, wow, I used to do this for 10, 15 years, and with this, it changed. And you say, but this is way better, way simpler.
Look at NIC teaming, right? NIC teaming with Server 2012. I mean, for years, it was a half-day process to team a set of NICs.
And sometimes when you have process, because it was not supported for Microsoft, yes. I remember those calls to say that you have to destroy the teaming. So apparently I'm talking to myself right now.
No, just hey, go, Dave. Go for the Mevo. I got to fix Clint's thing here. So just go stand up there. You can just take the mic over.
So I guess another question that I'll have for you, Marcos, while we're waiting is, since you've been at MVP Days, it's been about a year and a half, 2 years since you've been around with us. And one of the other big things that have happened since you've been away is Microsoft has now released PowerShell as open source. What do you think that's going to do to the PowerShell community and scripting in general?
So at the beginning, when they released PowerShell, I was saying, oh no, I'm a GUI guy, right? That's why I went to Microsoft, in this case, to Linux. But right now, I was a little bit resilient regarding going to the command line. Right now, it's basically what I use. Mm-hmm. So from the last years, what I've been doing basically is collecting my scripts. Now I have a kind of a source code of my scripts.
So collecting, not creating, right?
Collecting. What I say collecting is I use other scripts like yours as well. I use Dave's. I use everyone. I adapt for myself. I'm creating my own. But I'm collecting all of that effort into OneNote. And it's easy for me to just reuse it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a rule, like if you're doing three times the same thing, after the third time, you have to automate.
That's right. Yeah.
So with this and with System Center since 2012 and Orchestrator, I've been doing that a lot. So I even have a small thing automated at my house that when you just dump some files, for example, for photography, I have all of this automated on the way that after the processing and everything else, it goes directly to my picture frames, wireless picture frames, without do almost anything.
Right.
And that's automation that I can use for my own. Mm-hmm. And this is an example that I always give to my customers and to every single one to just say, hey, everyone can automate, even to my students. So it's pretty cool what we are doing right now with all the PowerShell. But yes, I'm not as passionate as our ex-Canadian MVP PowerShell, mm-hmm. Sean Carney. Now he just now he's a blue badge. Yeah. He just joined Microsoft, and now he's spreading the magic to the Microsoft customers.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm not as passionate as he is, but I love PowerShell, and it's my life right now.
I like it. I like it because gives me a lot of that automation. You know, a lot of times when I go into a customer and we're implementing a new solution, what I like to do is walk them through the initial process, right? The first server that we're going to build, let's do this hands-on so that we go through everything. But if we've got 500 other servers to deploy, we're not going to want to repeat that process again. So PowerShell's great. You know, for the majority of the presentations and stuff that I do, I like GUI. In work, in effect, it's PowerShell, absolutely, because when you're using PowerShell, there's less room for a mistake. Yes?
I don't think people can hear you very good.
Oh.
Yeah. You need to put that up higher.
Check 1, 2. Check. And so, and then of course the beauty about PowerShell now being open source is that all of these scripts that everybody has been created are nice and publicly available on GitHub, and you can go in and.
I use a lot of GitHub. I don't know about you, but
I'm not a PowerShell guy. So if somebody else has already created it, I will most certainly steal it and steal it with pride.
Yeah. You just make you aware that you are live.
Am I muted? Oh, yes, I am.
Whoa.
Okay, try that now.
Check. Yeah, it works better when you're not muted, hey? Yeah.
Usually it is.
Well, you just spent the last 10 minutes talking to yourself, Marcos. How was that?
So I was hearing your session about OMS,
mm-hmm.
and just move a little bit closer because you want to be on the camera. We don't want to see your arm.
It's to the left of the X. It's not on the X.
So I was listening carefully your session about OMS,
mm-hmm.
and this is a question like a little bit more generally. It's like, how you see the future of all of these new things, because we know that with the cloud-enabled solutions, you are more able to get all of those new technologies coming way faster than on the product release way,
mm-hmm.
right? So we had Systems Center 2012. We had system like few, I don't know precise how many months after we had Systems Center 2012 R2. And now it was been, 18 months since they released the 2012 R2 to 2016?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, then.
Just move over a little bit, it's okay, I'm gonna fix it.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, from a management perspective, I think right now Microsoft is doing it right by portraying OMS as an extension to System Center Operations Manager and not a replacement. Do I expect it to become a replacement? Certainly. I think that on-premises solutions are on their way out. Why would any organization pay for that amount of hardware to sit in their data center to monitor their other hardware when cloud solutions are there and work out of the box? The ease of deployment, right? I would never be able to set up a SCOM environment in 10 minutes, right? You can't install SQL in 10 minutes, let alone everything else. OMS, we can get in, we can have the account provision and have agents installed in less than 10 minutes and getting your data back. So very, very versatile there from deployment, as well from the Microsoft side and the updates. Because the solution is a service-driven solution, updates are seamless, right? So as new solutions come in, they're just simply added into the field. And the solutions gallery inside of OMS is where this really becomes powerful. Because as you've seen in the session, when I started doing this presentation a year and a half ago, we had like 9 solutions. And now there's 5 times that many.
Yeah. So thank you for that, for sharing that.
We're going to need to do a little bit of tech check here.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll come back. What time is it now? It is 9:49. So we'll take about maybe a 10-minute break or so.
Okay.
And then we just need to adjust the camera to get Clint's stuff.
Okay. Fixed. Okay. We're going to take about a 10-minute break. We're just going to do a little bit of tech reorganizing here before the next session. So for you guys online, we'll see you back in a few minutes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. See ya.